when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, wherever you are in the world. Where we are today, it is 4 p.m. Central Standard Time in the state of Tennessee, United States of America. It is October the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2019, and you're tuning into Blood River Radio, the red-hot radio show here in the South and going all over the world. We are the only radio station I know of that we have pledged our flagship issue is fighting global white genocide, and our poster child for global white genocide is where hardcore genocide is going on right now in South Africa, and we have a man there. We have a man, like we talked about this last week. By the way, last week was our first anniversary, people. We survived the whole year on this radio show when many people said it was impossible. I had doubts myself. I thought, well, if it's God's will, we'd make it. If it's not, we won't. But we're here, people, and you came along with us. But we have a man, like I said, the only radio show, station I know in the United States that has an official member of their staff. Boots on the ground in South Africa. He's been over there for 3 weeks. This will be his third and final report, boots on the ground report from South Africa. He'll be coming on in just a few minutes, y'all. But we're so excited. But before I forget, before we go to prayer, I've got to say one more thing. I would like to throw out a big thank you to Dennis in Sunland, California. Dennis, also, thank you so much for your donation. And I'd also like to say, return greetings and racial salutations to you. And I'll also agree with you. Yes, Dennis. Yes, absolutely. Yes, we must turn to God. If we don't get God in this, if we're not on God's side, we will not win. So, absolutely. And speaking of God, Dennis, and all the rest of our audience, and Sam, and me, and my family, and everybody out there, we're going to go to a prayer right now. Everybody knows this is a Christian radio show, and one of our chief prayers on board is Lee. Lee, take it away, brother.
Okay, let's everybody bow your heads. Oh, Father, we pray for you to help us and to help the whites in South Africa and to protect them and to sustain them through the persecution and death that the tribal leaders of South Africa and the people behind them are doing to them. We pray for our political prisoners and try to sustain them from our oppressive government. We pray to expose Zionism, who is a threat to the world, and we pray to help us to prevent a civil war in America.
Amen.
And to prevent a world war, and please help us in all our needs, and please pray for our enemies and adversaries who are led by Satan. All right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lee. Also, I'd like to ask God. First of all, I'd like to thank God for letting Matt and Rich and Janice get over there in South Africa safely. And I would also like to ask God to please get them back home safely, because we miss them. We love them. We really respect and admire them for what they're doing. They put their money where their mouth is. They're over there and risking life and limb to bring you people this broadcast of this first hour directly from South Africa. How are you doing out there, young fellow, Mr. Matt? How are you doing tonight? Is Matt with us? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just carry on. I know Matt will be up soon, because I know if unless he's suffered one of these Zulu attacks. But let me tell you what, while we're waiting on Matt to come up, me and Lee are going to carry the water right here. I would like to go back one more time and tell y'all people how Blood River Radio came about. Now, this series right here, like I say, is October. This is October the 12th of 2019. It's been a little over a year ago. It was probably January and February. Well, actually, it was. I started thinking about getting my own radio show back around the political cesspool, a birthday party 2 years ago when we were there. I started thinking about that. And then for sure, February of 2018, January 2018, I was in a deer camp over in the wilds of Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is not, we don't have any wilderness, any true wilderness like they do in Montana or Canada or Alaska, but we have some pretty wild places. And this may be kind of an aside. In Tennessee, some parts of Tennessee where I was in this hunting camp is the most sparsely populated county in the state of Tennessee. And they're kind of, I won't say they're plagued, but they have a large population of wild dogs and wild and what they call feral hogs. Hogs that are tame hogs that have gone wild. And they can get quite dangerous. And yours truly, you know, it's kind of funny. You know what a runner I am? I love running the trails, the backwoods, the logging roads, and the trails over there in the wilds of Tennessee. And I've done that many times since, you know, I used to go empty handed, but since I had kind of like a run in with a big, he was some kind of like a big German Shepherd mix. There was something wrong with him. I'm not going to say he had rabies. Well, hang with me, people. This is going to be, I love doing these rabbit trails. Some of my friends say that Pappy loves to go down rabbit trails. Some of our other people, like what we call it, porch talk. But I had a run in with this big mixed dog. And it was kind of a standoff, a Russian standoff. Thankfully, he blinked. He weighed 80 pounds if he weighed an ounce. Later, within an hour after I was coming back from my run, I ran into a deer hunter. And lo and behold, he asked me, had I seen any wild dogs or any wild hogs? I said, and he warned me. He said there was this German Shepherd looking like dog crossed with something else. And he was acting funny. He's probably pretty dangerous. I said, yes, sir. I run into that guy. So since then, I've been running with a little, it's an old Harrington and Richardson 9-shot 22. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of 22, but when you're running, 45 is too big to carry, too heavy. I've done it, but I guess I'm too lazy. I don't like to carry that weight. Anyway, I was in this hunting camp the night after this run I'm telling you about. I woke up in the middle of the night, so I knew I wanted to get a radio show. And I knew it had to be. I said, my God, we have to do something for the people in South Africa. I know other people are doing things for them, but I just got, my heart was just torturing me. I said, these people are going through untold misery in hell. No one has gone through any more torture than our brothers, white brothers and sisters, and they're going through in South Africa even as we speak. So I was talking to my friend in Alabama, over in Alabama in Tennessee, the guy I'm telling you about. I was talking to him and his brother. I said, you know, I've got to get this radio station. I just think I want to get this radio station. And we were talking about what to name it, you know. And so, listen to, I'm not kidding you, people. I had a dream. I was dreaming about and woke up in the middle of the night with this dream, Blood River. I had the name of my radio show, Blood River Radio. People, I hear the music. We'll be right back. And hopefully when we come back, we'll have my little spirit son. He hates me to call him that, but too bad, so sad. Matt will be with us shortly unless he's been speared by the Zulus. So hang on to your hat, people. We'll be right back.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
My Lord, I tell you what, people, I just got some news from Sam. I'm so damn jealous. I'll tell you about a guy he got on. He's getting ready to go broadcast at G. Edward Griffin's place. My Lord, I've been wanting to get that guy on our show since before I was born almost. Anyway, we had some bad news a minute ago. We were hoping that Matt had been speared by the Zulus because, see, we need Blood River Radio. If there's one thing we need a martyr. And so Matt missed his chance at martyrdom, man. Gosh, we already had the statue ready and everything, and it was going to make us, we could talk about that for 6 months. But anyway, Matt, I guess you blew your chance. You didn't. What happened, man? You're supposed to get speared by the Zulus today, dude.
Well, you know what? I guess I got too much sleep and I had too much energy last night, and I took them all out myself, so. Sorry about that. I'm just gonna have to, we still have a few more days to make that happen.
I'll tell you what, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm excited. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I was just telling Sam that, maybe this would be our chance to have we could have the Blood River Radio. We could be the first people of Liberty News Radio to have a martyr. But anyway, go ahead, fella. So, I'll tell you what. Now, this would be, Matt, this would be your last Saturday there, correct?
Yes. No, I just wanted to tell our audience, welcome. Thank you for listening to the next session on our trip around the world. And so greetings from South Africa. When I first came on for the first part of the narrative, I told y'all what I had seen up to that point, and I basically left you at Cape Town. Now, we took Cape Town. We did what was called the garden route. We took Cape Town and drove over to Mussels Bay. And it's a beautiful scenery, all sorts of graded farms, farms of a lot of grains, and just beautiful animal farms through that whole trek. There's lots of beautiful trees on each side of the road, lots of eucalyptus, things like that, blue gum trees. When we got into Mussels Bay, we found out that Cape Town, because of the riots that we were telling you about, they actually had to call in the military to try to help stop the riots that were going on over there off the N7. So we just narrowly missed almost a sort of martial law going on over there. When we got into Mussels Bay is an interesting town, because if you just went to South Africa to Mussels Bay, you could almost think, if you didn't look at the tall fences and some of the barbed wire and stuff, you really could almost be deceived and think that there's nothing much going on here in South Africa. This town's kind of like a vacation resort town. But when you start talking to people, they still have the gates going across all the stores. They still are worried about crime, although they say that there you can actually still get out at night. So a foreigner visiting Mussels Bay could actually be convinced that there's not much going on in South Africa as far as crime is going on. But don't be deceived. It's a boiling over kettle that's ready to just blow up. I talked to a store clerk there at Mussels Bay. He was an antique dealer at a flea market shop, and he basically informed me that some of the top 20% Afrikaner people who have top skills, doctors, lawyers, these are the people who are fleeing the country right now, and they're taking all the money they have in their accounts with them, and they're trying to get out before the hammer drops on the rest of the white people here. And I encouraged him. I said, you know, this is probably the best white people to lose, because a lot of these white people that have done this are some of the ones that have funded the problems here to begin with. They're some of the liberal whites, some of the thugs that have sent them down this path to begin with. I said, so don't be too saddened by losing those people. He agreed, we both continued to talk. And he told me that a lot of the foreigners don't realize this, a lot of the visitors, he said, but the blacks have been killing off a lot of the animals in the safaris. They would call them reserves, nature reserves. They said the blacks are actually killing off the animals. The reason is, he said, they actually want the land still, so they don't even mind killing the animals off. And he said for years and years they've been killing them off, and the whites there know it, but a lot of the other whites who are just visiting do not even realize it. So that's what's going on in Mussels Bay. We took off from there, and on the way to our next stop, we actually had to swing by the police station. In a little bit of protection for our own egos and self-esteems, I won't tell you why we were at the police station. But I want the audience to know all is well with us. But when we got to the police station, I believe it was George, in the town of George, there was actually shotgun blast at the police station. In the window guardhouse, there were shotgun blasts, scatter pellets all through the windows of the police station guardhouse. After Mussels Bay, you get a quick awakening about what's going on in this country. Yes.
Why, pray tell, were y'all at the police station, young fellow? Were you imbibing on the job?
No. But as a point of interest to the audience, we are fine. All is well. It was just a minor traffic incident. But, The reality is
were you fine? Did you have to pay a fine?
No, nothing like that. But
I got to quit interrupting. I'm sorry. I'm just so excited to hear your voice tonight.
No, we did have to go there. And like I said, there were shotgun blasts, scatter pellets through the guardhouse of the police station. Can you imagine this? This is the kind of reality these people are living in. So we're going up, and we ended up at another farm in the middle of the country almost. Yes, keep going.
Oh, did y'all pay to play? Now, were these pellets? Did you say, you know how my hearing is, too much army back in the day. Were these pellets in the police station, you say? Did I hear you right, or was I wrong?
Yes. The window of the guardhouse of the police station. Even the police station had a gate and a big wall around it to keep people out. But even the guardhouse up front had all these shotgun blasts through the windows. You could visibly tell that they'd been attacked.
Well, Sam wants to know, did y'all pay to play? Did y'all get shook down there before you had to go?
Oh, no. No, that was a minor delay in our trip and our itinerary.
I'm going to shut up and let you roll because I got a bunch of questions to ask. I'm going to let you rock and roll, son. But anyway, people, before we go, I got to say one more thing. I tell you what, like Matt said, the African prisons ain't too cool, dude. But at least some people, you got to listen to. I'm really jovial tonight, but I'm excited to have Matt on. But listen, don't take my jovialty, whatever it is, my lighthearted attitude tonight. Don't be a fool of that. You're listening to a guy, little Matt Goodwin. He went to South Africa on his own dime. He's our co-host. He's a full-fledged right-hand member of Blood River Radio. He's vital to this show. He's with Liberty News Radio. We're funded by Liberty News Radio. Sam lets us do anything we want to do within reason. And listen, I got to say this one more time. I'm really excited now. Blood River Radio was created for one purpose. One purpose. Everything we do is linked to that one purpose, and that is to fight global white genocide. That's all we do. That's our only issue. Everything we do is connected to that. Our poster child is South Africa. We have a man over there in South Africa. We had a man back last December in South Africa, and now we have official co-host in South Africa calling in tonight. Let that sink in, people. And our anniversary was last week. I got to shut up. We got to get over a break, and we're going to go right back to Matt as soon as we get back. So please don't leave. We'll be right back, Matt.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Federal judges in three states temporarily blocked Donald Trump's policy to deny green cards to many immigrants who use Medicaid, food stamps, and other government benefits, dealing a setback to one of the president's most aggressive moves yet to cut legal immigration and make it more based on employment skills than family ties. The rulings in California, New York, and Washington, D.C. came in quick succession 4 days before the new rules were set to take effect. A heavy downpour and strong winds pounded Tokyo and the surrounding areas as a powerful typhoon, forecast to be Japan's worst in 6 decades, made landfall and passed over the capital, where streets, nearby beaches, and train stations had been long deserted. Store shelves were bare after people stocked up on water and food ahead of the typhoon, and a coastal earthquake of 5.8 on the Richter scale also rattled the area. Remember, you can listen online anytime at USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a law that will make the state the first to allow employers, co-workers, and teachers to seek gun violence restraining orders against other people. The bill was vetoed twice by former Governor Jerry Brown, a Democrat, and goes beyond a measure that he signed allowing only law enforcement officers and immediate family members to ask judges to temporarily take away people's guns when they are deemed a danger to themselves or others. Newsom is also a Democrat who signed a companion bill allowing the gun violence restraining orders to last 1 and 5 years, although the gun owners could petition to end those restrictions earlier.
The new laws were among 15 gun-related laws that Newsom approved as the state strengthens what it calls the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, and he calls it the nation's toughest restrictions. Between 1993 and 2017, there was a 62% decline in the gun murder rate in the state of California, nearly double the 34% nationally. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back. And like we said earlier, it is October the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2019. And we have an official co-host, an official member of Blood River Radio over there in South Africa. And we're bringing this show live. He's speaking right now as we speak, coming from South Africa, people. And I hope that sinks in. The gravity of what I just told you is just beyond my ability to comprehend almost. It's like I know for sure God is in this, is in our endeavor, because who in the world would have thought last year, 2 months after we inaugurated this show, we had a dear brother, Rich Hamlin, was over there. By the way, when he was over there, they were suffering a severe drought. Matt says that it looks pretty green over there now. But get that. Just get this. We had a man within 2 months after we had Blood River Radio on the air, we had a man over in South Africa. Now, today, this is our third show. We've had Matt Goodwin on. Matt Goodwin, our co-host, who went over to South Africa on his own dime, taking all these chances because we put our money where our mouth is. We said we were going to leave the radio studio and we were going to take it to the streets. We were going to take it to the universities, the churches, and most importantly to the streets. And that's where Matt is right now, if you want to call it the street, if you want to call the wilds of South Africa the streets. That's where he is right now. And that's where his voice is going to be coming to you right now. Go right back where you're talking about. Matt, one more question before you go back. Now, is this a Mussels Bay? Evidently, it's right there near the ocean. Is that true?
Yes, yes. It's a seaside kind of vacation kind of town. And it has a beautiful lighthouse, beautiful rock cliffs, a lot of camper parking, which they call caravans, and a lot of surfers out in the water. Yes, it's a beautiful little seaside town.
Well, you know, did they... But those people, even at that, you know, I can't get over, you know, what you telling us about the buckshot pellets in the friggin' police station. That kind of reminds me of, we were talking about, I think at Montgomery Bell, when you were, you know, me and you and Lee were up there, Montgomery Bell, we had a guy, I think Simon was telling us that, maybe Rich, that thugs with knives and clubs went into the police station and took the cops' guns away from them. And I mean, is this police station you went in, is it any better than that? Or do you think they're any tougher than that? Or do you think the thugs can come in and take their weapons away from them? And then after I ask that question, I'm going to shut up and let you roll. So go ahead, Matt.
No, in fact, they have what's called security guards here, which actually look like our police back in America. They have their police here, which look more like our security guards in America. It's a very unique situation where the security guards here can actually arrest you, I've heard, and haul you into the police station. And the police can too. But yeah, as far as what you would think of as a police, they call security guards out in the public, general public. Their police cars, their police SUVs look more police-like. But the police tend to stick to traffic enforcement and I don't know, let's say riot control or whatever, and processing. But it's a very interesting dichotomy when you compare it with America. So we went up. Now, you said that they got more rain, but when I told you that, we were looking at the Western Cape. And in the Western Cape,
Things
did look green. They had gotten more rain. But as we moved up from Mussels Bay, we started moving further inland, and things started getting drier and more, you know, less greens and more brown and scrubbed bushes and a lot of sandy soil, and it looks pretty parched land. We actually stayed at a farmer's house near there, and we went to a town called Graaffreinet, and we visited several monuments around this town, and the monuments were not taken care of. They've been allowed to just, the concrete falls off and pieces of the monument are falling off. No water are in the monuments because in this part of the country, things are still very dry. They have not gotten any water, basically, of any substance. They've just, they're just kind of carrying on the best they can. So the problem here in a lot of these areas, too, is that the government actually taxes them for every windmill that they have that pumps water, whether it was built 20 years ago or whatever. They actually tax them for every water storage silo that they build, like what they call a water dam, if it's, they're just holding water. The government here actually taxes these people, even in this severe drought, for the water that they're getting. And I've heard even now that they've gone an extra step and are literally taxing them for the rain. So they're just getting hit from all sides, these farmers are. So this farmer, he told me one story that he goes out one morning, he hears his dogs barking the night before, and he goes out to his truck the next morning and finds that the government has tampered with his truck. They've taken tags off on the other side and actually messed with his truck. So they're actively trying to basically discourage the spirits of these farmers and actually attack them on their own property, on their own land. This is what these farmers are dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
Matt, now when you say government, now what color are these guys, the government that they're attacking them? This is probably a rhetorical question. Are they just basically black thugs with a government uniform on coming out and harassing these good, hardworking white people?
Well, I can't speak for that because this was a nighttime situation, but I'm under the impression, yes, because the ANC is predominantly black-controlled government. So this is a white minority being oppressed by the black controllers. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's exactly what's going on. But imagine you waking up and your car tags getting switched around and them taking off your in some states they have inspection stickers or whatever. That's basically to the effect of what had happened to this poor farmer. They just ripped his inspection stickers off and just made life a hassle for him. That's on top of taxing them for their water and taxing them for just overtaxation and the severe drought that they're going through. So these people are suffering really bad. So we continued on from there. We went up to Aberdeen. Once again, we saw some more monuments. Once again, these monuments have grass growing through them. No water in the troughs because of the drought. But they are not taking care of the concrete. And blacks are just filling in these parks, these monument parks. And they're using it like their own little private meet-up places, their own meet-up spaces, and their own little... just basically looks like they're almost, some cases, even living in those facilities, those little monument centers in the middle of town. So really these people are they've got nothing to do. So we move on from there and we go up to another farmer in what we know as like the Karoo area. And we spend time with this farmer. And this farmer told me some stories that will make your hair curl. He inherited a very large tract of land, let's say in the ballpark of 30,000 plus acres, because his parents have had land grants there for years and years. His ancestors had land grants there for years and years and years and years and years. Okay, so we spend a few days there. These are a good Christian family. They have four beautiful little children and just good people. We ended up going out on what I like to call a farm-afari. You've heard of a safari, right?
Correct.
Well, I've coined a new term here. It's a farm-afari or a farm-afari where I went out and helped him on his farm herding sheep. And so I'm riding on I'm out there riding on the back of a truck going through the hills, and the sun is just cooking us, but we're herding all these sheep, moving them out. You can see a springbok around. You can see all the wildlife. And I challenge our listeners. Simon Rush, our brother Simon Rush, has invited Americans to come and take a look at South Africa. I ask you to do it. with all the knowledge of the dangers and make sure you do it safely. But take these people up and come out and go on a farm safari. Go out and help them in their fields. You'll learn what these aren't. When we say farmers in South Africa, we're not talking about farmers like in America, where a farmer has 100 acres and 20 cows, and all he wants to do is get up and maybe fix a little fence post and feed and water the cows, and it's kind of like a retirement farm. No, these people are hardcore farmers. We woke up in the morning, and we milked cows, milked goats, inoculated.
Oh, no kidding.
And we did all that before even 7:30 in the morning. We get back in, we eat a quick bite for breakfast, and we're back out into the fields herding sheep. He's got many livestock that he is responsible for. Unfortunately, when you have a starving crowd of people...
Uh-oh, Matt. I'm sure you heard the music, son. You know what that means, because you're official host. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back, Matt.
I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Okay, people. We're going right back to Matt. Oh, I love that music. That's one of the few songs I picked. I handpicked that one myself. Matt picked some. Jacob picked one. I think Lee picked one. Sam picked one. I sure love that song. We've had a couple of listeners who called in and said that song piece of music really lifts them up big time. It gets their spirits flowing. It must be something, you know, it must be spiritually in the in our bone marrow. It's a one brotherhood. Anyway, Matt, go back to where you were talking about, Matt, before we went to the break. You were talking about herding all these sheep and stuff. I'm assuming you're not talking about some Baptist minister out there herding sheep. You're talking about these, you know, for sure. I'm just taking a pot shot at some of these ministers and say, we got to go out here. We got to preach to the people that are on the fence. We got to spend endless months and hours, you know, and years preaching to these people, trying to get them to wake up. But anyway, that was another rabbit trail. Go back to where you was on the farm there, and Matt. And also, but don't let me forget, I would like you, one question, I could have a thousand, but I'll have to ask some of them when you get back. The spirit, you talked about the statues and the monuments being run down and shabby. And does that reflect on the spirit of our white brothers there, or are they just so overwhelmed by these colors living in the parks that they were unable to maintain them? And kind of, you can answer that if you want to. If you don't have time, you can go back to the farm. It's your call.
Yeah, let me. I'm gonna get around to that. I am gonna answer that. I'm probably not gonna give the most. I'm gonna give my unbiased opinion, and I'm not gonna give the most nice answer. Unfortunately, let me say this: when we're out, and I'm encouraging our audience once again, take Simon Rush, our brother, up on this farm safari. Come out, spend time with these farmers, and you will learn many, many things. They'll tell you their own personal stories. You'll make friends over here. You'll see what these people are going through on a day-to-day basis. This particular farming family, this farmer told me some stories that would just, oh, it would just make you sick if it was you. He said one day one of his black workers got into some sort of altercation with somebody he owed money to, and the man showed up who he owed money to at this farmer's house and demanded that the man knocked on his farmer's door, his boss's door, and he said, sir, I owe this man money. Will you pay him an advance or something like that, or will you pay him what I owe him? And this farmer said, no, I'm not paying him. And he said the next morning they woke up and about $2,500 worth of sheep were missing. So they literally just come and took his sheep and stole it from him because his worker owed that man something. Another story, there was something about a gambling debt where one of his workers had gotten in bad in the gambling, and he showed up and he said, he asked his boss if he would pay this gambling debt, and the boss said no. This farmer said, no, I'm not going to pay your gambling debt. And he said that there were men outside who, once again, he owed money to, who were ready to claim it, and they all started pulling out guns and shooting at each other, trading out shots. And he said he pulled out his gun, and the last thing he went through was just a large gunfight, and they all had to flee, and he said that no one ended up getting struck, but that was just another incident out on the range. So when me and this farmer went into town, I noticed that there were people coming up. He'd have to pay this person a little bit. This person would come up and ask for free money, 5 or 10 rand, and he would turn them down. This person would come up and ask for a job. And I was just bewildered, and I'm sitting here looking at all this, and I'm like, what in the world is going on here? So afterwards, I start talking to him and find out that what happened inside the town, he goes into town, and he has people coming up and asking him for work again. He said that they used to work for him, but what they're doing is they're actually trying to get back on his farm, find out where his sheep are, and they're going to tell people, other people, to come and steal his sheep. Where his sheep are at what time. And he says that's what happened before when they worked for him, and he knew those types of people. Other people that he was paying in the town, he said that they were in basically kind of like informants, basically, and he had to go in and butter their bread, basically, to get information about who's going to steal his sheep when and where so that he could move his sheep out. Folks,
I don't see how he's going to survive, man.
You can't even imagine that kind of lifestyle, but you just have to keep it up. You have to keep two steps ahead of these people just to keep what is rightfully yours. What you don't even owe them anything, you know. So that's the type of stuff in town that I saw. Yes,
that's horrible. I was just going to say, there's so many questions. I'm going to ask this one question. You go back to the other ones you were going to cover earlier. I asked you about how in the world can he get his sheep to the market? I mean, how can he round them, get in the market, and get them in there in one piece to sell them without being himself being butchered, about his sheep being stolen or hijacked on the road? Because I know they're, like you said previously, shows. The blacks are taking like concrete blocks and throwing them through the windshields of the tractor trailer rigs over there, and you know, setting them on fire and throwing burning tires out in this inner and what we call the interstates. I can't see how
he knows it's a matter of time. He knows this. He's actually, one of his workers came up to him one day and said, "Boss," they were riding in the truck. He said, "One day, this farm." And he points to his farm, the farmer's farm, the black worker that works for him, who never did anything to gain a piece of that land. He said, "Boss, one day this farm over here is going to be mine." And he said, "And this truck here is going to be mine." He's telling his
boss right.
That. Imagine you telling your boss that one day this is going to be mine, this restaurant here or this. But that's what these people are dealing with. He knows it's a matter. The farmer knows it's just a matter of time. It's a boiling kettle that's going off. And so he said, I asked him, I said, "Well, how can you do this?" And he said, "Well, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer." So that's when we went into town, and he's finding out the information he needs to keep shuffling his sheep to where he can protect what he has right now. But he still knows that it is just a matter of time. He told me also that you don't drink the water in town. He said that the town water, he said the blacks are in control of the water municipalities in these smaller towns. He said, and what they're doing, instead of dumping the water purification into the water each day, he said they're taking the whole month's allotment and dumping it in at one time. So after it goes through the pipes, everything else is basically just untreated water. He said, "This will literally make you sick in all of these little towns." And these people,
you know, Matt, that's here now in Memphis, Tennessee. We have an all-black city council, a black county mayor, black police, you name it. Postal workers are all black. That's coming to a city here near you people in the United States, already here in Memphis, Tennessee. Matt, I'll tell you what, I wish we had 12 hours. But when you come back, in the U.S., we'll have to do a whole 2 hours. But listen, get back. We're getting close to running out of time. Get back. How are the spirits of the people? I guess that's another rhetorical question, but what you just told us about this farmer, hey, he knows it's a matter of time he loses his farm. I mean, how the hell could their spirits be anything but in the dump? But you said you were going to address that question earlier, Matt. We get about 2 minutes. The spirits of the people, and I referenced the way the parks are run down. Take off on that, Matt, if you will.
This is a dry and thirsty land, and what I perceive, everybody I've talked to as we've moved east, okay, because we started out in the best. I told y'all this was Cape Town was the best part of South Africa as of yet, and it has received the less troubles as of right now. But as we've moved east, I've met a whole different category of white people, and the white people as I've moved east have become it's almost like a pall over them, like a cloud that's hanging over them. They've become a lot more disparaged. I think it's tremendously affecting their spirits. I think they're actually quite downtrodden right now and almost just on the, I think they're just on the just barely hanging on aspect, honestly. The more people I talk to, I think their spirits have pretty much been crushed over over all the aspects affecting them, just the drought. That farmer I was with, sheep were dying just because they're not getting the proper nutrients from the grass. You know, just beyond normal type of issues. You know, these people are dealing with all sorts of beyond normal type of issues at the same time. It's a very extraordinary situation. And so I've talked to a lot of people here, and people, as I've moved east, they've told me that they're literally in fear and literally in fear for their lives. And they said, you know, you're an idiot if you feel safe anywhere in this country.
Well, Matt, we're just about out of time.
I think it has crushed their spirits.
I've got to say this. We're almost out of time. When you get back, some way or another, you and I, two gurus from Blood River, maybe Lee can go, we have to go to Washington, D.C. and see our congressman. We have to go to Washington, D.C. We have to raise hell about this. And I know you're ready to rock and roll. Matt, me and you, we got to go to Washington, D.C. and raise hell. By God, something's got to be done about this, man. We got to wake these damn politicians up here. We can't let our brothers and sisters go there and just be butchered like this. Matt, I can't wait to have you back home, son. Thank you so much for calling in, and be ready to rock and roll again next week, Matt. Good night, Bob. People, hang on. We're getting ready to go to the second hour. We're going to pick up Jacob when we come right back. Good night, man. I know you got to go to bed, son. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning over there.